So last week, when we were gathered here about this time, many of us were hoping that this week we would be celebrating that the Ravens were going to be going to the Super Bowl. It didn't happen, if you don't know. It didn't take long into the game to figure out that the Chiefs had a better game plan than the Ravens did. In fact, the Chiefs were doing what the Ravens should have been doing, putting pressure on the quarterback so he couldn't execute. And, you know, you think about it, for those guys playing, that 1 hour, you know, it's a one-hour game that takes, whatever, 4 hours, but they're only actually playing on the clock for an hour. That 1 hour culminated an entire year of training, training strength, training endurance, studying the playbook, learning what's going on within them and their teammates and the opposition, studying film, all the things that go into it. And at the end of that game, it was all over. When we were in Kansas City, yeah, I live there, so Chiefs are my second team, so now I got to root for them. But my boys were playing flag football at the Y, and I ended up being the assistant coach with a guy named Carlos Carson, who had played for the Chiefs. He was a receiver for them. He made it to the Pro Bowl in 83 and 87. So it was kind of neat sitting there getting to talk to him and learn some of the behind-the-scenes things with pro football. But one of the things he told me is, there was some young guys that came in there, drafted or undrafted, that would make the veterans' jaw drop. They were so skilled. He said, man, it was beyond what you could imagine. But they let all the fame, all the distractions, all those things get in the way. And they didn't study the playbook. And they didn't make the team. Athletes train to prepare for what's ahead. They train their bodies and they train their minds. The great coach from the Dallas Cowboys, Tom Landry, said that his job was to make players do what they didn't want to do so they could achieve what they always wanted to achieve. The Apostle Paul wrote, physical training is good, but training in godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So do we train ourselves to be faithful followers of Jesus? Do we train ourselves so we are ready for the obstacles, the storms that we are going to face? How do we prepare ourselves to take control of each day instead of allowing each day to control us? As I said the other week, an analogy I really like is that we're like a sponge. And a sponge, when I squeeze it, what comes out of it is what I put into it. And in our lives, when the pressure comes, what we've put in is what comes out. Have I put in the training in godliness, which puts the word of God, the attitude of Jesus, hope, grace, peace, into our hearts so when the pressure comes, we don't spew out venom that affects everybody in a negative way, but instead we're able to extend grace and mercy and hope and love. Jesus put it this way in Luke 6:45. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So this morning, we're going to look at what we are filling our heart with. And we want to look at how to fill our heart with good things through studying the playbook, so that what we say and do produces good. Our salvation is a gift from God, by faith, through grace. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection brings us into a relationship with the Father through the Son, led by and guided by the Holy Spirit. God pursues us. He wants what's best for us. He pursues us for a relationship with us. He calls us to himself, but we have to respond to the invitation to follow Jesus. And there comes a crisis point, a point when we say yes to God, and we turn from our sin, and we turn to Jesus. But that's not the end. That is the beginning. That's when we're born. That's when life, real life, begins. As we continue to follow Jesus, we're going to battle storms, and we're going to have blessings. We are called to live for the kingdom of God while living in this world. It's kind of like fish going against the stream. The world's going that way, but we're going towards Jesus, which is in the opposite direction. Our salvation, this relationship with Jesus, is a gift that transforms us. It changes the direction of our lives, but it also involves us working with God through the strength he gives us, through the Holy Spirit, so we are enabled to overcome. He is the source of our power to overcome, but we have to connect to the source. Paul put it this way as he was writing to the church in Philippi in Philippians 2, beginning at verse 12. He said, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." Now again, verses 12 and 13. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. It's not working hard to earn our salvation, but as new creations in Christ, we have to work to live out the new lives and not fall back into the old way of living. Work hard to live out the new creation that you are, because you are a new person. Change is difficult, but it is possible. And God empowers us to do that. If you looked at who I was back in the 80s, I was young for one thing, but but before Jesus got hold of me, I was a completely different person than I am now. It took God's grace and working to allow God to shape me to be more like Jesus than I was. We never arrive. We continue to grow in that. That's what that training in godliness is about. Physical training is good, but training in godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. After I began to follow Jesus and got serious and was really diving into it, I remember, it's sad but funny, my mother told me, she says, "You know, I prayed that all my kids would come to follow Jesus, but I thought you were the last one that would." That tells you where I was before. But God does a work in us as we work with him. To what happened to me is explained in verse 13 there of Philippians 2. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." God is working in us. And he gives us a different desire. Our desire is to do what God wants us to do. Our desire is no longer self-centered. It's God-centered. And he not only gives us the desire, he gives us the power to do that. When God begins to work in our lives, He changes us from the inside. When we begin to really follow Jesus, we no longer desire the things we used to desire. They're not as so-called fun as they used to be. What we thought was fun, we find wasn't really all that much fun after all. And we have the power to quit things we never could quit before. We tried and tried and tried and couldn't do it. But through Christ, He gives us a new desire and the power to live out those new desires. And God continues to keep shaping us and gives us the ability to extend more grace to others. And we begin to see people more like the way He sees them instead of through our own distorted vision. God is a loving Father who wants what's best for us, and He's working in us to transform us into the people He created us to be. He's working to reshape us into His image as revealed in Jesus. Man, I used to think to follow Jesus means you can't have any fun. But Jesus invented fun. He's the one that made it. Following Jesus should be more real, more natural, more exciting, more fulfilling, more challenging, more fun, without the hangovers, embarrassments, and regrets. Monday through Wednesday of this week, I was in Linthicum. I just call it all Baltimore once you cross the bridge. I had to look to see where it was. It's over near BWI for what's Board of Ministry meetings. And in that, we interview those who are wanting to get their first district license and those who are wanting to be ordained in the Church of the Nazarene. And as a group, we interview them and see where they are, not only with the information, but the way they're living their lives and the way God's using them and their gifts and graces. In order to get a district license, they have to have had 6 classes, whether it's in course of study or through a Bible college or a university or seminary. In order to be ordained, they have to have 24 classes. So the study part is really important. But it's about more than just the mind. And as the Board of Ministry, we are representing the church, looking at them to see if God has called them. We're trying to use the wisdom God gives us to see the gifts and graces that are there. Some of you may have seen Herman come in and say something to me here. He was one of the candidates. Francisco was another one from over there. And Herman just told me, and I already knew, but Herman and Francisco both have gotten their district license now. So it's cool watching them grow. It's so neat being able to be a part of that because I get to hear people's story about how God saved them and how they're growing in Him and how He has called them and what He's doing in and through them in ministry. Our theology of ordination says ordination is the authenticating, authorizing act of the church which recognizes and confirms God's call to ministerial leadership as stewards and proclaimers of the gospel in the church of Jesus Christ. In other words, when they come, what we're doing is looking and saying, yes, we see it's authentic. God has called them. It's not some dude that's just saying, oh, I want to become a pastor. It looks like an easy job. You only work one day a week. I want that. No, not all of us can do that. No, we're authenticating, saying, no, God has called person, and we see it in their lives. We see the way God's working them, and then we authorize them, go preach the gospel, and you're under the umbrella of the church because the church has said, yeah, this is for real. Listen to them, as Paul said about some of his mentees that he sent out into ministry. But when I go to these things like Board of Ministry, it messes my week up. I was there Monday through Wednesday, and everything, you know, nothing's the same there. It messes me up for my physical training and my training in godliness. It's not going to the gym now, so what I have to do is figure out new ways of working it. It's not my regular routine. I had to find ways to go down to the gym before or after meetings. I had to find times where I could go out and walk and run in order to get the exercise in. I had to find time to set aside for reading scripture and spending time in prayer. We're getting ready to go to Jamaica. My schedule's going to get all messed up again. And it's easy to just say, well, I'll get back to that when I get back home. But, you know, I find time to do the things that really matter. I find time to do the things I really want to do. And if I really want to spend time in physical training, I'll find time to do it. In my spiritual training, which is much better, I will find time to do it. It's a matter of making it a priority. Schedules change. Disruptions happen. But even in the midst of the chaos of life, God wants us to come to Him and grow in Him. This week, our spiritual exercise, we've done meditation, meditating on God and His Word. We talked about prayer. We talked about fasting. And this week, we're talking about study. For some people, study is a word that you'd rather ignore. It reminds us too much of school and reading books we didn't want to read and having to take tests. And I hated all of that. But that's not what I'm talking about with this spiritual exercise of study. Study is not just learning information. Study is giving our hearts and minds to Christ. Study is what Paul was talking about in Romans 12, 2 when he said, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It's taking what we know about God, the world, other people, and ourselves, and allowing that information to bring change to our lives. If you're like me, you grew up thinking, man, study is boring. But in reality, study is exciting, challenging, and life-changing. It involves searching and experimenting and observing and discovering. As I said earlier, you know, athletes study film in order to learn more about their opponents. They study film to learn more about themselves, to help them refine their skills. They'll study other great athletes and what they did and how they trained and their methods in order to learn to do it better. They study the body and nutrition and other disciplines in order to make them wiser and stronger and better able to compete. In 2018 Winter Olympics, Chloe Kim became the youngest woman to win an Olympic snowboarding competition when she got the gold medal in the halfpipe at 17 years old. Afterwards, they asked her, "How were you able to keep improving?" And she said, I watch films of myself, and I look for little things that I'm doing wrong, and then I begin to practice doing that right until it becomes natural to do it right. That's how we grow in godliness. It's how we allow God to shape us. We examine our lives, even when it hurts, because sometimes it hurts when we see who we really are. We look at the way we react and respond. We concentrate on making changes in places where we mess up. We put good things in the treasury of our hearts so when pressure comes, good things come out. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Scripture is our film. It reveals things about people in the past and their interaction with God and their interaction with each other. It reveals the character of God. It reveals what we're doing right and what we are doing wrong. Studying Scripture and studying our own lives, our attitudes, our actions, helps us grow in our relationship with Jesus. Scripture gives us the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus. Scripture is inspired by God. It teaches us what is true. It reveals to us when we're not measuring up to the standards God has for us, how he wants us to live. It reveals when we're not being bearers of the image of God as we've been called to. Scripture brings correction to our lives when we apply it. And it teaches us how to live the lives God created us to live. Studying Scripture is interacting with God through his word. It's allowing his word to get into us and mess with our lives. Studying is not just learning what Scripture says. It's not memorizing a bunch of Scripture. It's applying that Scripture. It's allowing it to sink deep into us. And if you don't like to read, man, we live in a great day. If you don't have an app on your phone for the Bible, YouVersion Bible app's great. And it's got all the different translations. There's a bunch of them you can pull down. And there's a lot of them that have an audio recording as well. And you can listen to it. It takes about 70 hours to go through the entire Bible, whether you read it or listen to it. Study is being analytical with the Word of God. It's digging in deeper into the Scripture, into the character of God, even into creation. It's discovery. There's a story of a professor who had a young student come to him, and he was wanting to learn and study entomology, which is the study of insects, which are little teeny things that you're studying. The professor says, "When do you want to start?" And he says, "Now's good to me." The professor reached up onto a counter and brought a fish preserved in a jar, laid it out on a plate, and says, "I want you to look at this fish. You can't use a microscope. You can't use any tools. You can't use a knife, but I want you to write down everything you see in this fish." So the guy looked at it. All right, it's got eyes. It's got scales. It's got fins. Write down a little bit about the color, and okay. And he's waiting. The professor had gone out of the room, didn't come back for a long time. When the professor came back, he says, "Here's my list." The professor looked at it. Okay. Not fully satisfied, but not unsatisfied. He says, "Be here again tomorrow." The next day, he put the fish back out again. He says, "Write down what you see." And this went on for 3 days. Look closer. What do you see? What's really in this fish? And the more he examined it, the more he saw. He began to see what was beyond the obvious. And every time he looked at it, he saw something new. That's the way it should be when we study Scripture. Study is interpretation. It's digging in. It's discovering what was the intent of the original for the original hearers. And the more we look, the more we see. We put ourselves in the place of different characters in the story. You know, we usually put ourselves in the place of the hero. David and Goliath, who are you when you read that story? "I'm David." Well, what about Saul? What was going through Saul's mind there? What about David's brothers who were jealous? What about the other Israelites? What about the Philistines? What about Goliath? What about God? And you take that as you start discovering where all these different people were, and then you begin to apply it in your life. When have I faced giants? When have I been the giant? When have I looked at that fool that was trying to fight a giant and said, "What is he doing?" See, we begin to take this Scripture and we look at what it meant originally, and then we come and we apply it to our lives. But we can't know what it means to us until we know what it meant. Otherwise, we begin to bend Scripture and we make it say what we want it to say. We manipulate it. We shape Scripture the way we want it to be instead of allowing Scripture to shape us. Study helps us understand the context. And once we know the context, it really comes alive. You only think it's come alive if you're just reading through it. The study of Scripture is more than just knowing about God. It's important to know about God. But as we study the Scripture and go deeper and deeper, we get to know God. And then we discover how to respond to the things in our life because Scripture has begun to shape us. And if we're not careful, if we're just looking at the Scripture and we're not going deeper with it, not really trying to get to know God in it, we're like the Pharisees whom Jesus said, you search the Scripture because they give you eternal life. But the Scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. See, Scripture does not give us eternal life. Scripture points us to Jesus, who gives us eternal life. They reveal his character. They reveal his teachings. Study helps us learn to apply the truth, and the truth sets us free. Scripture is not just about information. It's about transformation. It's sharper than the sharpest double-edged sword. And if you read it and you allow God to speak to you through it, it will transform your life. It will point you to a deeper relationship with Jesus. They need to put a warning label on it like they do with cigarettes. You know, this thing, you get into it, it will mess up your life in a good way. When it comes to study, we have to come as a willing student, wanting to learn, wanting to allow God to shape us, not just to gain information, but to allow God to speak into our lives, because it reveals other people, and it reveals God, and it reveals ourselves. And it's not just the study of Scripture. Study of nature. Observe what you see. You ever looked really close at a butterfly or a leaf or a mountain? God created all these things, and we can learn a lot about the Creator as we look at his creation. We don't worship the creation. We just marvel at the creativity, the handiwork of our Creator. Paul wrote to the church in Rome in Romans 1, 19 and 20. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. God reveals himself through his creation. There's a guy named Francis Collins. He was the head guy when they mapped the human genome. I don't even understand all that stuff. I just know it's done. He ended up being the head of National Institute of Health. Francis Collins was raised by atheist parents who said science is the answer. Christianity is a myth for weak people. So that's the way Francis grew up. But then he got looking through that microscope. And he says, when I look through microscope, I see the fingerprints of God. This guy, who was raised to be an atheist scientist, got saved by looking through a microscope at God's creation. We can study God. We can do spiritual study through nature, through Scripture. We can read biographies, look at movies, look at what God has done in other people's lives. We learn more about God and about ourselves in all those ways, listening to sermons or podcasts or whatever it may be. We look for God's fingerprints in our daily lives, and if we look, his fingerprints are all over the place. And we look at how God's worked in our lives, in the lives of people we know. So the spiritual exercise of study, it's just about life and looking for where God's working. You know, if you've ever had a toddler around, you know why they get into everything? Because they're exploring, they're discovering, they're learning all the time. They want to know what this thing does and what that thing does. That's the way we should come. Looking at all these things, where is God at work in that? Look at what God is doing here. We're constantly observing and learning and processing information. So it's just using all that discovery in our day-to-day lives. And as we exercise, we become stronger. We move from being an infant in Christ to being a child, to being a young adult, to being a parent who's a disciple making disciples. But we haven't arrived. We continue to study. We continue to learn. Study helps prepare us for what we're going to face each day as we venture out as ambassadors for Jesus. As we live in this world while living for the kingdom of God. As we study, it reveals places we need to refine in our work, in our walk. It reveals traps we need to be aware of. It reveals the hope we have in Christ. It reveals the source of our strength. It reveals our ability to overcome. It reveals how we need to prepare for game day, because every day is game day. And the more we study, the more we allow God to transform our lives, the more we are shaped into the image of Jesus, the more God can use us to bring hope and healing and transformation, not only to our lives, but to the lives of the people around us. Paul wrote to the Colossians, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him." That's what the exercise of study does. It grows our roots down into Jesus and it builds us on the solid foundation of Christ. Then, as our roots go deeper and as we build our lives on that foundation, your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let's not give in to superficial, ineffective lives, muddling through, just hoping we get to heaven by the skin of our teeth. But dig deep into Scripture. Study history and people and ourselves and discover more about God and his creative character as we worship him and reveal him to our world, offering his love and hope and grace to everyone we encounter. The better we know God, the more we study, the deeper we dig into our relationship with Jesus, the better we are prepared to face each day. Because each day is going to bring battles and blessings. Pressure is going to come, and what we put in is what's going to come out.